Right now, it's grape drink from.
It's grape. Is it grape juice or grape drink?
You saw.
There's a difference between the two.
Grape drink, because I don't know what particular part of the grape it came from,
if at all.
By number 17. I don't know.
Oh my goodness! You know, Amazon is coming in hot today, man. She was getting all hot and mad at me a few seconds ago. She's about to let me have it.
I was not.
Yeah, she was about to go all off. She had the rolling pin in her hand and everything.
I have never wielded a rolling pin in my life.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Punk Demic Podcast. It's the man, 50 Grand MC, Johnny T, a.k.a. Eric. You know who? Vic Flair is in the building. And of course, we are joined by none other than the hostess with the mostest, the queen of everything we are talking about, Amazon. How are you doing besides Matt? She's not really mad, y'all. She's giving me a hard time sometimes.
Fine, and so you started picking on me.
Picking?
What kind of juice? Great.
But I was asking a clarifying question before we got started, okay? Because for somebody like me, I just like to be informed.
Okay.
As most of our intelligent listeners out there would like to be informed. I just needed to know if it was grape juice or grape drink. That's the difference between orange juice and Tampico or Sunny Delight. You know, was it?
What flavor is it, Amazon? And I would have told you. Do you want to know what flavor it is?
I just want to know if it was juice or drink. That's all. It's just.
No, but I want to tell you the flavor.
Okay, what's the flavor?
Purple.
If this wasn't your show, I'd fire you. But unfortunately, I'm in the position to be fired. So.
Purple flavor.
All right, we're going to go with her flavor is purple today. I guess that's better than red, so we'll go with that.
No, that's fruit punch.
I can't with you right now. I just can't. Okay, so this is the part where I would usually tell people to go to punkdemic.com and go get some merch, go get a beanie like this one, go get hats, go get a shirt, hoodie, anything that you can put the Punk Demic logo on is probably sitting over there. And if it's not there yet, you can be rest assured it's coming. But, you know, we got so enamored with juice and drink and colors and flavors. And at the time of our recording, this is podcast episode number 3 in real time. And so we have rolled up our sleeves to create a marathon situation to feed you, our listeners, because you guys deserve more content. You guys are requesting it. You guys are asking for more. And you know what? We're just givers and we want to give you what you're asking for. So today, we are going to give you an incredible episode with some incredible guests who do some incredible things for all of you incredible people. It's just an incredible situation. Wouldn't you say that, Amazon? Oh, she's muting. Now she's not muting.
I'm good.
Go ahead. Oh, okay, good. Okay, great. All right, well then, yeah, without any further ado, we are going to bring in our guest for today's episode of the Punk Demic Podcast. We got Ivan, who is joining us today, as well as one of the smoothest names on the planet. Everton is in the building as well. So, you guys, we had a little conversation about names prior to the beginning of this, and it was a good conversation. You know,
don't get me started.
You missed out on it, you guys. You have to be here for it. But no. Everton is in the building, and so near is Ivan. How are you guys feeling today?
Great. Great. Yeah. Glad to be on, and thank you for inviting us.
No, there's an artist named Everton Blender. No.
Oh yeah, the DJ, right?
Reggae artist.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, okay, go ahead. I'm done being.
Well, thank you guys for carving out the time out of your schedule to make time to hang out with us today. Of all the places that you could have been on a Saturday afternoon or evening, we appreciate you spending a little time with the Punk Demic Podcast people.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
What's the shame? What's the shame?
You're here dealing with my crap today. Bless their hearts, as my grandmother used to say.
No, they don't know what they're in for. You know what? Because Amazon has been batting a million on these interviews and the bookings for 2025. And, you know, one thing about it is you're going to get these flowers if MC Johnny T has anything to do with it. You're going to get these flowers, and the people need to know that you are the one that is that are making the bookings happen. You're the one that's you're running the show. I'm just the guy that's just clickety clacking in some buttons over here. And I'm just happy to be able to be along for the ride. So Amazon, get these flowers, queen of everything, queen of the bookings. And I mean, and you've been bringing in some incredible guests, and I expect that this will be no different. So on that note, I'm going to go do what I do best, which is stuff on the backside. And you see, I was trying to be nice about it. I was trying to make a gracious exit. I said nice things about you, talked about your greatness. And then now we're just going to kick me out. Get out. Really? Is that lucky? I feel like leaving.
He feels like leaving. Okay, so, Jesus.
And to be clear, it was my idea to leave. Okay.
Goodbye. So, either one of you, the name.
The name? Oh, where it came from?
Yes.
The connection? The long and short version of it, one, we were born in the year 76, so we just want to use that. We're older than we look, so. but yeah. Huh?
I'm also. Thank you.
Nice. All right. Yeah.
We're born. See, there we go.
So
there we go.
Now we're here.
I see. So, 76. Yes.
Nice.
Right. Everyone's part of the 76 world. See?
Yeah.
I'm actually a little young, guys. Believe it or not, that's true. Crazy. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and that then drones. I like robots, and I think he and I we went to I think it was a Transformers movie, and then I was just thinking about robots, and then like we had plenty of names, so like through the years, because Ivan and I actually been in bands since we were 19 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, and we're 49, so we've been in bands together since forever. Currently, the 76 Black Drones has been our name for, I would say, the longest. I would say the last like 15 years or so. So we were watching the Transformers movie, and then we just saw drones, and then I wanted to switch up the name just because it felt like we were going through another era, because every era, with every name, we had a different sound. So we just wanted like a real refresh. So so just the drones just sounded good to me. But I think there was a band name, the drones. So I just threw in the word black because it sounds cool. Black makes anything look cool, okay. Sound cool.
That's right.
And then 76. So just it's an amalgamation of them all.
So the first thing I thought of when I saw you guys was the drones in Jersey. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's us.
I'm upset, and I'm in California, and like I can't stop watching. I'm not talking about them so much now, but they're still there.
Yeah, some spookiness.
No way! So you guys have been together a long time. That's
great. Yeah. We've actually picked up playing guitar, taking lessons back in college together. Like a friend of ours, who happened to play guitar, wound up teaching us. I even jumped on bass. I've been playing guitar. And then we've been in different projects, some with each other and some in other projects or whatever. But then I would say like in our 20s, we started really focusing on us. Band lineups changed up. You know, we started off as a power trio a couple times, our main thing. So that's where Ivan was on bass, and then we'd have a drummer. So one of the bands that I think we went by the name of Dodger back in the day, we had a female drummer.
Cool.
And yeah, she was badass, but like she motherly duties, you know, so she had to put a pause on it. But even though you're in Cali, I'm sure you're familiar with some of the popular spots here in New York. I know you heard of CBGBs, right?
Well, of course.
Hey. So we had a gig at CBGB's that she couldn't do it anymore, and we were not going to give that up. And this is right before they were about to close.
Had to go. You can't not play CBGB's.
Like exactly. So at the time, the White Stripes was really coming up. So I was in love with the two piece thing anyway. So I was like, yo, Ivan, jump on fucking drums. I'll handle the rhythms or whatever. And then, like, even though Ivan wasn't a drummer per se, you know, he could hold a steady beat. So we were like, no, fuck it, we're gonna do it. Oh,
You're good.
You got to beep that.
I'm glad it was you, not me. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so then that's where we started the most current lineup where we're at right now. And like I said, that was probably like the mid to late 2000s. So we went from that. Then we switched up our name to the Echo Jinx. Then we started doing a lot of, we were more punk at the time. Still a two-piece. So like we did tons of Afro-punk festivals. Whatever at the local festivals here in the New York area. Like I said, we were doing CBGBs, we were doing Arlene's Groceries, all these New York staples. So we're doing a more real stripped down raw sound. Yeah. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're here.
Oh, okay. I don't see me. All right. what you call it? Where was I? Around that time, we were the Echo Jinx, and then we were doing more of a New York-y, like 70s New York punk style. Mm-hmm. But I always knew in the back of my head we eventually want to do like more blues, you know, because I like, all right, I'm gonna use this blackness of mine, and then I'm gonna pitch it. By the time I'm like hitting like 50, once I become an old dude, I'm gonna be playing blues. So like, how can we freak it? So I'm planting the seeds early,
right?
You know, so I started infusing a lot of blues into our stuff, you know. But we are influenced by other genres too and other artists too. So it's not just blues or punk, you know. Like we're big trip hop fans. So like Portishead is probably one of my biggest.
Me too.
There you go. Love so it. So we infused all of that into our song. So like eventually we switched up our name to, like I said, to 76 Black Drone. So that was the short version.
An evolution of the sound, pretty there much. It just, you know, like, and when he had mentioned the idea of like go on drums, that's literally what happened at a rehearsal. We were like maybe a week and a half out of the CBGB's gig, and we were like, we don't have a drummer. And Everton was like, go back there for a second. And I was like foreign just going back there, like, okay. And then it was like, okay, I'm sitting here. And he was like, all right, you know, hit this, hit that. I'm like, okay. You know, and it was just like, and the next minute I'm like, wait, am I the drummer now? You know, and it was just like, okay, this just happened, you know, like we just switched. So and then ever since we've kind of had this mentality of like, you know what, it's about what the song calls for, and it's about what like the band calls for. So, you know, we like to interchange a lot. We, you know, like right now it's mostly instrumental because we've gone and done, like, again, we've evolved more to more of an instrumental kind of idea, you know, but we would interchange vocals at times. It really was whatever was needed. We were just like, all right, like no egos here. What's needed? What does the sound call for? And then we were like, all right, then we'll do it.
Oh, I will say, Ivan, first of all, let me get one of those guitars back there. I don't appreciate you having me look for the third member who plays the drums. I was like, wait a minute. One, two. Go back and look at some more footage. One, two. I'm like, is that the same guy?
He's his own twin.
I was going to wear a costume at the time, switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, I was like looking for the third member. I'm like, where's the good one, two. So yeah, it took me a second to figure out that you were doing both. So that's pretty badass.
It took a moment to get comfortable on that. You know, like I said, it was trial by fire in the beginning. You know, like back then, we were still a two piece, and that's when we were really kind of like going into like the more punk kind of phase. It, you know, like the flubs were kind of allowed. It's punk. You're allowed to make a mistake and go. So it was a good transition to go into that kind of phase, is kind of certain beats. You know, but now that we kind of evolved more, we've, like I said, we've really embraced like what blues is and what we've learned from the past. you know, we've learned to kind of like play on like certain kind of beats on time kind of measures. You know, but even at this point, I think we're still kind of evolving. We're always talking about, you know, what can we add? What can be the next thing if we can add a sound to it to make it more interesting, or, you know, to go more minimal. Like it's such a play.
No, I was going to say, I'm about to be inappropriate. Heard up, right? Not me. So, Johnny, I swear to God, if you come out and make a comment, I swear, don't. So anyway, I'm scrolling through and I'm looking and besides,
oh, here you go. On cue.
Hey, I'm talking to you. Besides the sound, Everton, the arms, man. Like, why? Why are you doing all of that?
The sleeves?
My God. No, just nice looking arms, man. I was like,
oh. All right.
I'm looking at arms and shit. I'm like, is this, what is, and then I had to like refocus. I'm like, okay, the music. Oh. I'm like, what are you going to do? 7,500 hours a week or what? My God.
I like training arms. My last name is Armstrong, so maybe I have to live up to the family name. I don't know.
I see how you did that.
Lick, okay. Right. I got you. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Music. I was like, he's trying to. Okay.
What is he trying to do, Amazon?
He was distracting me with his armness.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be professional.
I'm blushing.
And then the arms with the thing and okay, anyway, so let's get back to the question. Johnny, get this.
And at the moment you were currently zoomed in upon. I'm gonna stop playing. I'm gonna get in trouble today.
Good day. So but anyway, yeah, so I did notice that. But what I couldn't help notice too was the location that you guys picked to do the videos. What's the deal with the locations? Because I really did. How you're doing the films?
You got this, Ivan, or? Yeah.
So we're really big on like scenery and background shots and kind of changing things up from the typical like studio recording kind of like certain kind of gigs. So one thing we wanted to like stand out when we really kind of like started to make a hard push was we wanted to be, you know, like outside, you know, boots on the ground. We call it like guerrilla sessions where we're filming where we're not supposed to be filming. These are spots that we're just kind of like, we're going in, we're knocking out some songs and we're going like, you know, it's just us doing what we can quickly. So we're always looking for sceneries, locations, like gems that like, especially like in the New York area that like, you know, people might not know, people might not have seen. So that's one of the biggest things we really like enjoy. One, we enjoy doing it. It's fun to be outside. It's fun to perform on these little shots. It's amazing sometimes like the people we see, like we'll see people coming by and we'll get the thumbs up. People will sometimes like stop us in the middle of like the filming, like to talk to us. So it's kind of a good thing because then we get like, oh, okay, you know, this sound is good. Okay, it's not just in our head that we like the music, you know, but it's something that really kind of like we enjoy. So, you know, we're always, like I said, we're always looking. Anytime we're together hanging out, we're like looking at shots, we're looking at locations. We've just become second nature to be like, oh, do you think this would be a good spot to film? Or do you think this will be a good location? Because like I said, we like to change things up and we like to change. The biggest thing is we love the backgrounds. And like I said, we feel with our songs now, like our songs are more like paint a landscape. Why not have a background that kind of also gives that like aspect?
No, I was going to ask, are you filming yourselves? Or do you have somebody else that's doing the filming?
Well, once in a while, we'll have somebody actually film, like the ones that are more video-ish looking. We have our Buttersteak Blues video, where we try to take it like kind of like a retro feel. Our most recent one, my brother directed that one. That one's called Guerrilla Nights. We have another one what was it, Beast Mode, those are the ones that we have other people do it, so it looks more, it's basically a music video. The ones that we do our guerrilla sessions, we film that ourselves. We'll just set up our maybe one hard cam and then maybe a couple of our cell phones to film. I'll edit them later and then post, because I think ever since the pandemic we changed everything too. Gigs are fun, don't get me wrong, but this way we have a little bit more of a creative thing to play with, like Ivan was saying, like we will discover like a unique spot in New York City that no one would normally use or would think of. Not your basic landscapes that everyone, when you think of New York City, you know, like, oh, you know, oh, that's definitely New York. Oh, that's definitely New York. No, we're going to find something real beautiful or something real funky that we can use that would actually fit the song. And then like, we'll run in there real quick, set up the cameras, film, edit, post. To us, that is so much fun. We are having like the time of our lives doing this.
Yeah.
It looks like it. Like, I have fun watching it.
Thank you.
Get a kick out of it. And then, like, I appreciate the fact you're not like, let's just go in the subway.
Yeah.
In the subway.
So tacky. Boring.
Appreciate that. I was like, okay, cool. You guys are doing the outside thing.
Yeah. Now we're totally do-it-yourselfers.
But, okay, so you guys have known each other how long?
Technically, since we were 16. But we didn't pick up guitars till college, so I would say around 19 is when we started playing around, you know, and then bands, I would probably say it would start 20-ish, something like that, you know. We've been
really hang out, like, outside of the band? You guys are tight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were best friends before that, like, since we were 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we met through a mutual friend, and after that, it was like, oh, okay. This, you know, this guy gets it. He's pretty cool. Like, you know, and then it just
tell the truth, Ivan. Tell the truth, Ivan. We sucked at sports. That's exactly how you and I bonded.
That's true.
Our friends, they were pretty good at basketball and football. So like every Saturday we would go to the park. He and I sucked at sports so bad. It would be to the point where, like, because I was the big guy, so that everybody would double up on me the first round. And then they're like, all right, you know, team up, double up on big man. And then they realized I couldn't play. The shortest guy, 4 foot dude, would freaking dunk on me and shit. So to the point where the second round would go, me and Ivan just sitting there in the grass, just plucking grass, and then running to the store, running errands for everybody else on the court. So we're like, you know what, we need something else. And then that's where we became musicians.
I was gonna say, not even soccer. You gotta be soccer.
Huh?
Not even soccer? You can't even?
Nah, I just like bodybuilding. That's about it. That was my bodybuilding is probably like the only thing that I was, you know, somewhat physical in, you know, but yeah.
But we look cool. We look cool going to the core. We used to go to the court. We had the sleeves up. We had the top. We looked great. We would come in, look like we knew how to play. First game up, then we were sitting down in the grass. You know, who needs a Gatorade? Oh, I'm gonna run to the store. That became us at one point. So we were like, all right, so we gotta figure
something out. Yeah, we sucked at sports, so we became musicians.
Who decided to be a musician first? Which one of you picked up first and was like,
well, I think that was kind of mutual.
It was about to say, I knew I had it in the back of my head because I would say around 18, somewhere around there, he and I both started college. And at the time in the mid 90s, like rap wasn't really my thing anymore. Like I was a big, you know, I was into like Tribe Called Quest and, you know, De La Soul, you know, Leaders of New School, Big Daddy Kane. That I was in that era of hip hop. And then in the mid 90s, when even the East New York, I mean, the East Coast rappers were doing gangster rap, to me, it got kind of whack. So then Ivan put me onto Nirvana, right? And my life, my whole perspective, everything changed.
That'll do it.
You know,
first dude, one's
like,
free.
It was nuts. So right after that, like, I was just glued to, like, watching, you know, alternative music videos. So I thought of it, but, like, I was just, like, enthralled with all this new music that I was absorbing. And then that's when I discovered Lenny Kravitz.
Okay.
So if you see that guitar right, let me see if I can see it. That one right there, the silver, mm-hmm. the Flying V. Mm-hmm. I saw Lenny Kravitz and I was like, oh shit, a light skinned brother can rock too. It wasn't just for the white boys. I'm not trying to make it racial or anything, but representation is a real thing. Representation is a real thing. I never knew it. Like, and so, like I said, I liked rock, well, alternative 90s rock. But then Lenny, I was like, holy shit, like, I can do it. And then, like, I was telling Ivan about it. And then we had a mutual friend who played guitar already. Mm-hmm. So he said, like, I'll teach you guys. Ivan whipped out his credit card. We ran out to Sam Ash.
Nice.
Bought our guitars. The next Wednesday, we started getting guitar lessons, and it was a wrap since.
The rock stars were born.
There you go.
So wait,
thank you.
A bunch of guitars back there. What you got going on back there, Ivan?
Well, this is just right now, like my bass collection. Like I started pretty much like at one point, like, oh, you know, like picking up a bass here and there, and then saying, oh, well, you know what? I wish I had this. I wish I had that, and then. At one point, you don't realize that you're like, oh, wait, I'm actually collecting this now. This is not just a habit. So, like, these are just kind of like the ones that I have right now. Like the first one up is a standard, like a style 1954 P bass. The next one up is my jazz bass that I use for most of my items. And then a couple other jazz. I have my two Rickenbackers when we want a certain sound, and then kind of like a short scale kind of when we go a little bit like more dirtier. Mm-hmm. You know, and then like it's more each kind of bass has a unique kind of like tone or sound. So now when we're kind of creating a song, it kind of like hits us like, well, okay, which one, what am I looking for? Am I looking for a little bit like more dirt on something? I'm looking for a clean kind of version. So I'm constantly like interchanging and seeing what really works. You know, sometimes I'll pull out the Rickenbacker when I want like a more like more of a 70s kind of grind to it. But if I want that really like sweet tone, I would go with my jazz bass. You know, like, and like I said, it just kind of like interchanges, but one, you know, it's costly, so I'm trying to slow down a little bit on like, oh, what's the next, because I have like a whole list of like, oh, I can get this space next, oh, you know, and then, you know, room space is always an issue, so that's it's like I need to like, I want to get more, like it's like once you get the first one, you want another one and another one, but you also remember we're talking about, you know, they're not you know, nickel and dime, so it's
so do you name them?
I haven't, but I know Everton has names for his, actually. Like, I haven't gone around to that, but we were actually talking about that. He was giving me his names.
I've been jealous of a few guitars in my day because they were, quote unquote, prettier than me. So whatever. Anyway. So you name yours Everton? What you got? What are some names of yours?
Well, if you could see my lineup, well, I definitely named the ones that are the ones that I got from my idols. So like, mm-hmm. I said, like, I got a Flying V. That was my first guitar because I was a big Lenny Kravitz fan because he plays Gibson Flying Vs. I got that Airline because Jack White from the White Stripes, he played it in White Stripes. I have the Prince Cloud guitar, you see right there. I actually have Prince's tambourine. That's a whole other story when Prince threw it in the audience and bopped me upside my head when I was 19 years old. That's a whole other story. But that was actually a Prince tambourine, so I have a Prince Cloud guitar. Let me go through the name. Sorry. So the Flying V, I call it Lenny. I call the Jack White's Airline Jackie. The Cloud guitar, since Prince already called it Cloud, I keep it Cloud. So I have a Jack Sting. This is a Kurt Cobain's signature guitar right here. So I call it Curtis. I have a wrong-sided, like a flipped white Strat, Fender Strat, that because Jimmy played a Fender Strat upside down. So call it Henny. And then I also have a Les Paul that it's a pretty much a combination because all the greats played Les Pauls, Flash, Jimmy Page, stuff like that. My favorite guitars are Gibson SGs. I named them after Transformers. I'm a big Transformer fan. So the silver one is Thundercracker, and then the black one is Skywarp. And then the other ones are, these are guitars that I've made. Oh, and then I have a 335 back there. John Lennon used to play casinos, Epiphone casinos. This is basically the same guitar, so I named that one Lennon. But yeah.
Johnny Taylor, he said Transformers. You can come on in.
But... Oh boy. You got a Transformer fan?
Oh God. Come on, Johnny.
I mean, I'm a Transformer fan. You know, I like the Transformers, but you know, I'm an even bigger fan of Voltron myself. You know, just the Lions, not these new reboots that they keep doing, but the OG one. And I can't recommend this Fleet of Doom Voltron film enough. It's the one where both the Lions and the vehicle team came together.
I remember that one. Evil.
So like when that commercial came out, I remember they were saying they were gonna run it in movie theaters, and I was like, "Mom, I want to go. Mom, I want to go. Mom, I want to go." And Mom was like, "No, you can't go. No, you can't go. You can't go." And it never ended up in the theaters out here. So
yeah, I remember it released on TV. Yeah, as a special movie. Give it 1 second.
Yep,
I didn't know what I'm gonna do.
Oh yeah,
but you're gonna be like this.
I know what he's grabbing. I love it. Mm-hmm.
In the background, you'll see his arcade games that he
won't. Ooh. Ooh, hold on. Let me go ahead and zoom that in. Yo, that is a thing of beauty.
Holy cow.
The metal, too. That's all metal.
Yeah.
Everton, you just got really hot. I hate to tell you that. Huh? I'm such a nerd. You don't even know. Wait, bring it back. Wait.
She wants to look at that Voltron a little bit more, from what it seems.
Huh?
She wants to look at that Voltron a little bit more. Yeah.
That's
beautiful. That is. Oh, and the blazing sword. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's it.
But yeah, no, I got. I collect Transformers. Ivan collects Star Wars. I think we both have G.I. Joes, you know.
Right here.
Oh, this is brilliant. I love
you. You remember the Star Wars?
Oh, he's flexing for you, girl. He's flexing for you. Go ahead.
I do have, like Optimus right here. Truck mode. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah. We're
truck mode.
In.
I have a robot mode right here. If you can see it. There you go. Ooh, and then his name, Optimus. And I have like the old box
part. Yep.
Oh yeah!
Oh, they did a good job on your artwork.
Thank you.
Same person for all of them.
I have two guys, but they're both retired, and I eventually was supposed to hit up my leg. So, like, I guess I'm in the market for a new guy, but there's no rush.
So they have in LA. I'm a car person too. Love cars.
Nice. They're
the really badass automobile museum is one of the best ever in LA, but they have a. With vehicles from movies. So they have, what's his name? They have Bumblebee there.
Okay.
As the car and as the robot, as you come in, like a life-size, what I guess closest they can get to life-size, from the set.
Nice.
In that museum, yeah. It's pretty neat. You would get a kick out of seeing that person. You know what, Johnny? Get the camera off me. Focus.
Well, you're the spotlight. You're the one speaking and sharing the story. We all eyes on you at the moment.
Being a nerd girl. Okay, go. All right. But anyway, no, it's but it's badass. They have like the Mad Max car from the newer.
Oh, nice.
They have the Batmobile from the 90s. They have they have Knight Rider. They have
nice.
Kit.
The Mystery Machine is there. What's his name? The Race Car Driver, the old cartoon?
Speed Racer?
Yeah, his car is there. Catwoman's, the little motorcycle or whatever that thing was that's there.
Nice.
So they have all these cool movie set cars. So that one would be there. You get a kick out of that, probably.
That just reminded me, like, we have it. Well, it's not really like in circulation anymore, but like our Knight Rider song, we have
a
song
Mike Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's my guy. I'll send it to you. I have the real of when I went and saw him. Looking like he's a person. I went and saw Kit. And of course, coming in, I had to play the Knight Rider theme in the back because I am that big of a dork. It's okay. It's okay.
Nice. No, that's all good. So all dorks here.
So, Johnny, damn.
What? Damn. I didn't even do anything. How am I in trouble? I just shared a little about Voltron. We opened up an incredible door for vehicles, which, by the way, speaking of vehicles, I'm a little resentful of the fact that the vehicle team didn't pick up the same way in the States as the Lions did on the Voltron series. I feel like I was one of a few kids who liked that series. Everybody was always about the Lions.
Yeah, man.
The Lions were good. I mean, the Lions. Okay, look, it's a lot easier to keep up with 5 Lions than 15 vehicles. I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. You know, but while the Lions were just defending one planet, the vehicles were finding new planets. And then someone made it make sense. They said the people who liked the Voltron Lion sequence are probably the ones that are more attracted to the Star Wars films. And the people who like the vehicle ones are probably the ones who are attracted more to Star Trek films. And when someone said that, then I was like, oh.
Well, Ivan is into both Star Wars and Star Trek. He's the guy to talk to about that stuff.
Yeah, I cross both sides on that world.
What say you about that analysis? Would you say that there might be some truth to that, perhaps?
It kind of makes sense. I kind of see that. I'm like a light. We're like, oh, I can see that. You know, like the two worlds, like how, you know, if you're in Star Trek, you might be into like the ships more with compared to like the lines, which seem more like mythical, which kind of Star Wars kind of gives you with the lightsabers and everything. I'm like, yeah, I can totally see that. Like, it makes a lot of sense.
My mom is a Trekkie, and Voltron was like probably the only cartoon she would watch with me, and it was only the one with the cars. And now after I heard that, it makes sense. And the other one that I liked back in the day was Robotech, which I felt, if you don't mind me just nerding out for just a minute, the one thing about Robotech that was crazy to me, it was the first time as a kid I actually seen death in a cartoon.
Mm.
Like, you know, you see on Looney Tunes, the coyote gets blown up by the dynamite, but he's back in the next scene. Like, all right, no harm, no foul, you know, or Elmer Fudd, you know, who get hit with the gun, but he's back in the next scene. But Robotech was like the first one that really had the concept of like, no, this person, their robot crashed and they didn't live through it. And, or they got caught up the wrong way. And I didn't realize that was actually one of the first legitimate anime series as we come to know anime today, that was like one of the original anime cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I never got a chance to finish that one. I think I saw the first couple seasons. I think it was on Netflix years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get into it because I didn't even watch it as a kid, but like I try to get into it, you know, because it's supposed to be in the same realm or whatever of Transformers or whatever, you know. And then you as a Transformer fan, I know you know Jetfire or Skyfire was based off of Macross. Yeah. And then so like that was my linkage. So I said, all right, let me try it. And then somebody was telling me how like the storyline is totally different because of when it was brought to America. They just compiled like the scenes and then rewrote it. So so I caught the first couple seasons, so I didn't finish it. So I don't know.
They had a lot of volumes. They had a lot of volumes of Robotech. Like way too much for kids. That cartoon wasn't intended for American kids. I don't think. I don't think so. Even attention span for, you know, it ran like a soap opera. And ran one volume after the other. You know, if you're a kid, you miss one episode and then you lost it, and that's a wrap, you know, playing sports or something outside. So, Amazon, thanks for allowing us to geek out for a minute, having a Toonami moment around here. It's not often that Voltron gets to enter the Punk Dimmick conversation or Robotech.
I this is very punk.
Oh no, I love both. But you're the Transformers is your thing, right?
Oh yeah,
me? Everton. Yeah,
no, that's a whole. You don't want me to start that one. That's a whole different podcast. That'll take a couple podcasts in itself.
That's the whole review.
It so happened to me. I just had a couple Optimus Primes hanging out with these.
I love it.
Yeah,
so happened to be around.
I got like three display cases full of Optimus Primes right next to me right here. That's a whole different podcast in itself.
Did they ever come out with the new? Weren't they coming out with the new Thundercats?
That was the rumor. Thundercats. Yeah. I have Thundercats too. I can bring that. I can pop those out.
Rhino, let's go. Let's go.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
You can tell me my ass wasn't Chitara when I was a little girl.
Chitara was bad, boy. She had that speed on her.
Oh, that's the one thing I think everyone's waiting for to eventually come back out. Like when's the movie coming out? When's the live action? Like when's the new?
Couple random ones here. Here's the Lion-O.
Yeah. That's an OG LJN right there.
Yeah. I got Lion-O. I got, I just picked up some random things that's on my desk. Remember Copper Kid from Silverhawks? Ravishing Rick Rude. Just random.
Oh, Ravishing Rick Rude. Love it. What I like to have right now.
Psykill from the GoBots.
Nice.
Yeah, so Ivan and I'm sure you picked up on him by now. He and I, we both have, I wouldn't say OCD, but we do have, what's the word? Where you just, you're obsessed with collecting or whatever. You're
not fans. When we're like, we take that word seriously. So
yeah, when
like,
we say the word fan, we mean.
We're into it, you know.
Dude, that Ravishing Rick Rude was legit, though.
Yeah, but that was just a little taste, so we can get back on track.
Oh, man. Hey, I feel a whole new series coming around here. We start talking about...
Oh, my God.
Dudes, hey, seriously, like, I look on eBay and places like that. Some of these items that were just, you know, that was the thing when we were kids. People were paying, like,
A
crazy amount of money for some of these items. And
I just sold a Crow comic book for almost $1,000 a couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah, I paid like $50 for it, like, you know, years ago. And I got like almost $1,000 for it, for a comic book. You know the Crow?
Yeah.
So,
all right, Johnny Taylor.
That's why we got to get this podcast jumping right. Big, because I got some collector stuff to go buy out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Can we get back to the band, please?
Yeah, let's get back to the band.
He's a pain in the... See, I almost... But I didn't.
Oh, here you go.
Huh? I almost cursed. Listen, don't make me curse on a Saturday. Good day. Good day.
Yeah.
Any new stuff in the works? New songs? New videos? You gonna play anywhere? What you got going?
We do have, we're playing this outside gig on the 25th. It's some park. The promoter is gonna give us the final details, so we'll definitely post that on the page. So for your podcast fans, we're 76_black_drones, and we'll definitely have the most updated information on the gig on the 25th. And we're trying to,
at a park, right? There's I know there's one or two parks where they're doing like they do punk and not metal. What do they call it now? I'm old. What do they call it?
Probably new metal. I don't know the newer genres. I'm kind of old-fashioned myself.
Obsessed with, like, how they dance in the pit now. Have you seen that?
Oh, no.
And, like, in the pit, you never seen that. Now they kind of, like, they're skipping and karate chopping. And have you seen Ivan?
Oh, like, I remember running with the mosh pits when it's like
the pits now.
Free-for-all, you know?
Yeah. Like, what
now it's karate?
It looks like, to me, it reminds me of karate. Like, they're just doing all the... I'm like, what is happening? But no, there's a spot is it in Brooklyn? Anyway, there's a park where they've been doing some shows out there.
Okay, no, this one's in Manhattan. So we'll definitely, I think they're finalizing that event. So hopefully we hear something in the next couple of days, but we're definitely going to post that. Like I said, for right now, like we like surprising people as far as like we'll film and then post. So that's been our thing. But now that the weather's getting nice, you know, I think we want to get back out there and do some actual gigs like normal people.
Not like.
Yeah, like normal.
All three of you, right? All three. Yeah. I was so irritated. I'm like, where's the drummer? Where is he? I don't appreciate that.
Well, the funny thing is sometimes when we're creating a song, I don't even know, like, okay, what's going to be the main function here? Like, sometimes, so, like, when we're working on a song, it's like, sometimes I'll even ask, I'm like, am I playing bass on this or am I, like, playing drums? And then if it's like, if I'm just playing drums, it's like, all right, so are we going more, you know, like, do you need me to do more? Do you need more, give you more boom bap? Or am I just laying the beat down? So it's, I never know what's happening when we're working on it, you know, like it's like I'll be sitting there with the guitar, the bass in hand and hitting, you know, on the drums, trying to figure out like, is this a bass song? Is it a drum song? You know, should I even be playing anything? It's always interesting how we're just kind of like developing songs.
Well, that's my bass is probably one of my favorite instruments. Drums, you're playing, they're both percussion, bass and drum. You're playing percussion, right? You're a percussionist.
Yeah. I guess that's why it's like, it was one of those things like, it kind of made sense. Like after, you know, Everton's suggestion to do it, it was like, all right, yeah, you know, this definitely works. And then, you know, like we're very open to have like if someone wants to join, but it's never stuff has panned out. So we came to a conclusion, all right, it seems like this is a two piece and this is how we really kind of work well. So we're more like, all right, what can we do to create the sound? You know, what can we do? So that's always like, we might throw keys on one day, you know, like it really, like it's open to anything.
I saw a guy do a show. No, not a show. He did like a set, maybe five songs. Just the drums, Metapunk show.
Oh shit.
That was like, okay. And it was pretty badass. So, I mean.
I believe it.
Yeah, the it's limitless what you can do, to be honest. A little rhythm.
Yeah, I love the stripped down stuff. There is an artist called Scout Niblet. It's I think she's from England, and there's some. She'll do a couple songs. It's just her on vocals, and she'll be playing drums, even though she's a guitarist. And she'll play a straight beat, but it's kind of funky. And I love that stripped down stuff. So like, I try to incorporate, you know, all that stuff because it's like, you can have a million musicians on the stage, and then like everyone's hiding behind everybody, and then it's like, it's just a wall of. I don't know. I think you could just sounds get lost, you know. So when it's stripped down, like you're forced to zoom in on just a couple of things, and those things really push the music forward. So I love that stripped down stuff. So like so if Ivan's on drums, and then like I might hum a bass line or something, and I'm like, and then he'll do that, and I'm like, all right, just give me the kick drum or whatever on that. Bah, bah, bah. And Ivan will hold down the whole rhythm section by himself. He's like a one man band, right? So then like, then I'll do like some leads on top of it. So he gives me like the cloud that I can, you know, float on, you know? So like that's Ivan's thing or whatever. He holds down the whole rhythm section by himself. I can shred like a nut, you know, if I want, you know, or sometimes I'll just, you know, do some raunchy riffs. You know, once in a while, like I said, we slowed down on vocals. We used to do vocals back in the day, like one song he'll do and one song I'll do. Whichever one our voice worked better for that song, you know, we didn't care. But as of lately, even though we were thinking about introducing new singers, we've been doing a lot of instrumentals during this Gorilla Session stuff, and we love it now. So I think that's this current phase that we're going through is a bunch of instrumentals, and we're loving it, you know.
Working. I'm like, don't mess with it.
No. Yeah, thanks.
Just with perfection. If it's working, if what you're doing, the formula you're using is working for you, then don't worry about getting another member. But if you do, please notify me so that I don't. I mean, I really was, though. That's so funny, because I always do my homework before someone comes on. And I was like, okay, let me just, if a third person pops up on this podcast, I'm going to be pissed off. Well, it was good to talk to you guys. Let me know if you put anything else out new, please send me the videos, whatever. We'll put them up on.
Awesome.
Johnny, welcome.
I just wanted to just jump in before it's time for all of us to jump out. You know what I mean? The time flew on this episode. It must have been the power of Lion-O and Voltron and Optimus Prime, the GoBots, you know, the Silver Hawks. It was just, this episode really just took me on a journey.
Silver Hawks had bluegrass, right?
Hmm?
Was the character bluegrass from the Silver Hawks?
Oh, no, that was Copper Kid.
It was the Copper Kid.
No.
But there was a bluegrass.
There was a bluegrass.
So.
I don't have bluegrass. I should get him because he played guitar.
He played the guitar, right?
Yeah.
That's my I just remembered that. When you.
As a matter of fact, the voice of Lion-O does the voice of bluegrass.
No shit. See, I liked him because of guitar.
Bluegrass. Yeah. So now I got to get bluegrass. Now I'm going on eBay as soon as we get off.
You get it and you take a picture like this.
I'm going to have to.
The arms, please.
Huh?
Okay, wait.
You got it.
All right. So this is the part where we do the plugs. Where can everybody find you? Where can people connect with your music? What's sitting out right now? What's coming out when? You guys have got the floor to plug away. And this will probably be the clip that one of the clips that we'll render out. So that way you've got like something if you wanted to do ads with as well.
When you gonna stick that Voltron in the mail for me? You know,
when are we gonna trade off classic action figures or whatnot? All right, go ahead, you guys. Fire away. What's happening with you guys? Where can the people connect?
All right.
You could check us out on pretty much every platform, Instagram, TikTok, even Facebook, but we hardly put anything on there. Spotify, Amazon, you could check us out everywhere. 76
Apple
underscore.
Apple Music.
Yeah. 76 underscore black underscore drones. We're on YouTube also, so we have a few videos up there. Like I said, we're playing this outside festival thing on the 25th. As we get more information, we're gonna post that on our page. Our Instagram page tends to be our hub for right now. That's where we have most of our traction, and then we pretty much use that as the main thing, and then we splinter everything off to the other things. So I would definitely go to Instagram if you want the most updated information on us. We have a couple of guerrilla sessions that we're going to surprise you guys with. So just keep an eye out for those. And you have anything, Evan?
No, just, you know, we have our EP out, and that's where our songs, like I said, you find that on like all the streamings. The EP is called Guerrilla Nights. So, you know, one of the songs is called Guerrilla Nights on it. So, you know, we're really kind of like, we're pretty proud of those songs. Where those are the songs when we were recording, we were like, these are going to be our song. But you know, with spring coming and summer coming, we're gearing up to do another batch of recordings. So you know, we'll be have a new kind of set, you know, new information that we're going to be kind of pretty excited. So stay tuned.
Yeah. So towards the end, I would say the end of spring, we should be back recording. So the second EP, because we have shit, like about like 50, 60 songs. So we're just doing them as batches, you know, so whichever ones we're feeling at the moment. But we are going to back into the lab. We're going to record at the end of spring. So look out for the second EP at the same places, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, all those good spots.
All right. You guys heard it here. You heard it straight from the Punkdemic podcast. And today, I told you guys it was going to be a good show. I told you guys. I'm not the type of guy to say I told you so, but I told you so. This one was a good one today. I appreciate the two of you guys making time to hang out with us on a Saturday afternoon, early evening. Again, of all the places where you guys could have spent your Saturday, we appreciate you spending time here with us, Punkdemic. Make sure you guys support these cats. They ran through all the socials while we were sitting here. I made sure to go drop a follow to the IG right now, too. And I encourage all of you guys to do the same. So we are going to wrap this one up. So until the next time, you guys be kind to yourself. Be kind to each other. Spread love. Don't be the hater. If all you see is hate, you're probably the problem. We don't really have a way that we wrap this up. We have a bunch of things at the end. See, I went with peace on another one. But like,
we should do it on this one.
No, what you did was peace and hair grease, which we didn't need.
Oh. Yeah. I guess I omitted the hair grease part. But all the same, I did include peace. So anyway, we are going to wrap this one up and we're going to put a bow on this one. So until next time, again, be kind to each other, be kind to yourself, and we will see you at the Punkdemic Podcast real, real soon. Goodbye.
Bye.